Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's the shortest day of the year, Tony. When do you think you'll fall asleep tonight?
Tony Kornheiser, I'm hoping for after the show, but before the Sports Center segment. The worst case, I fall asleep during the Sports
during
Center
Sports
segment.
During Sports Center. That would make for an interesting segment.
Good.
That really would.
Yeah.
You'd get killed
you know,
on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it now. You'd get
absolutely.
Killed.
Shortest day of the year, but that means from now on we're getting
longer.
More light every
like
single
a minute
day,
a day
for six
or
months.
Something like that, yeah.
Very good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Ravens feel disrespected. Coaches are picking Alabama to beat Michigan, and Booger McFarland joins us for 5 good minutes. But we begin today with an NBA grab bag. Last night, the 76ers beat the visiting first-place Timberwolves by 14, and Joel Embiid scored 51 points. The Clippers ran their winning streak to 9, winning in Dallas without Paul George, though Kyrie Irving did not play for Dallas. The Lakers got beat in Chicago. They dropped to 1-4 since winning the in-season tournament, banner included. And the Celtics rebounded big from losing to the Warriors, beating Sacramento by 25 points without Jason Tatum suiting up. So, Wilbon, which result was most intriguing to you?
Tony, I'm going to go better than answer your question. One better. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to give you an order. Okay, I'm going to rank them. I'm going to go Embiid scoring that many points, 51, against big guys, okay?
Right.
He's in there mm-hmm. against Rudy Gobert and Cat. That's 7-3 and 6-11. Hey, come on now. And they're the best record in the league going into last night's game. They're tied again, I think, with the Celtics now. But Embiid, I know you don't like to dap up Embiid very often, but he put 51 on guys leading the league with size. I'm going to go one there. The Celtics doing it without Jason Tatum coming off a loss against Golden State and whipping Sacramento. I watched a lot of that game there, too. I'm going to go to Clippers 3 because you and I, we've been skeptical. Others, too. We had Perk on yesterday, still skeptical. Show us. I know it's a regular season, but that's 9 in a row. Come on. The Hall of Famers, they seem up to it. And the Lakers. It's not insignificant, Tony, and they're not going to have LeBron because he's got some sort of ankle tendonitis. The Bulls took it to them last night. Still no Zach LaVine. The Bulls ought to be learning something from that, given how much they played better without Zach LaVine. So that's my order of finish to answer your question.
Fantastic. I would like to say the most intriguing game was the Lakers getting beat by your Bulls.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say that because neither team is very good. The Bulls are 12-17. The Lakers are 2 games over .500,
yeah.
But their next three are at Minnesota, at Oklahoma City, and Boston.
We don't
Boston.
Know LeBron's status.
I will give
yeah.
a nod. You mentioned Zach LaVine. Your Bulls are 7-3
without
him, which means
yeah.
at the trade deadline,
yeah.
you can
Hello.
Say goodbye to him.
Why
like
wait?
He's going away.
Why wait? How about tomorrow?
I think the biggest game is the fact that Boston won on the road in a back-to-back against a good team.
Okay.
Because I thought it was a fluke win by Golden State in this sense. Boston missed 41 threes.
Yeah.
Still got to overtime, missed 41 threes. They were 22 of 42 in last night's game. All right, so they went from 29% to 52%, and they did it without Jason Tatum. So how do you like the Celtics now? So they
yeah.
would be one for me.
One for you. Ahead of Embiid, you are not...
Mike,
if he went out and he scored 51 on Wilt, you would say, yeah, yeah, Wilt
no,
had
Mike,
a head card.
I don't want to keep going on and on about Embiid. It matters what he does in the playoffs.
I know.
The people he
That's
is compared
true.
To most, Jokic and Antetokounmpo, have won titles.
Yeah.
But he has taken the absence of James Harden on his shoulders, and
Thank
he is
you.
Playing great.
Yeah.
He is.
Ooh. Tony delivering flowers to Embiid. We
yeah.
like this.
Yeah.
The NFL has a marquee matchup Monday night when the AFC leading Ravens face the NFC leading 49ers in Santa Clara. Vegas has made the Niners a 5.5-point favorite, a number that Ravens corner Marlon Humphrey said hurt his feelings, and to which his teammate, safety Kyle Hamilton, said, we feel a little disrespected. Tony, should the Ravens feel surprised that the Niners are so heavily favored?
Well, I will concede to you that when I saw the line was 5.5, I was surprised. I don't think it's disrespect to Baltimore at all. I'm trying to figure out why you would do it because you have Baltimore going all the way across the country and you have San Francisco lately really pounding good teams.
Yeah, what, 6 in a row,
like
I think?
Philadelphia, like Dallas, like Jacksonville. But I can't get up to 5.5. And the reason I can't get up to 5.5 is Lamar Jackson. I mean, you have to game plan completely for Lamar Jackson. San Francisco has four different guys that can score from any point on the field, but they don't have anybody like Lamar Jackson. No. And Lamar Jackson has not been good at all in the playoffs, but in the regular season, he's been great. Mike, 56-19 in the regular season. I just think Lamar Jackson is healthy now, seems to be happy with his contract, 8-1 in his last 9, and he makes something out of nothing better than anybody in the league.
I tried to make the case a couple of days ago, sometime this week, that Purdy might be my MVP. And because he's played that well. And then Marcus Spears gave the best counter to that reasoning, and it's a slam dunk. And he said, as great as Purdy's been, he allows that Purdy's been great. He's not the first guy that any defensive coordinator would say you have to plan for in San Francisco.
That's right.
They're going to say, you know, Debo, or they're going to say the running back who's been so, maybe the MVP himself.
And McCaffrey.
But if you're talking about Baltimore, the first name is Lamar Jackson. It is. And so Lamar Jackson should be in the catbird seat for MVP. I'm excited about I don't care about the line. I don't look at the line. I wouldn't know what the line is. I've never looked at it. Huh?
That's totally
I've been doing this for 43 years. Here's how many times I've ever looked at a line. Never. I don't care.
Okay.
The teams are even. It's a pick 'em.
The Ravens looked at it because they're upset by it.
They are.
And you know what, Mike? It feels like a Super Bowl preview. It does. It feels like it. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. We move to college football now. The Athletic surveyed coaches, scouts, and analysts from the SEC and the Big Ten. Found the majority of them are favoring Alabama over Michigan in their upcoming playoff game, despite Michigan's unbeaten record and number one ranking. Wilbon, do you favor Alabama as well?
I think so, Tony. I don't favor them. Just looking at them, and it's just eye test, okay? There ain't any analytics spewing here. Looking at the two teams as much as I looked at them in the regular season, and I watched almost every Michigan game, at least part of it, maybe half the Alabama games. So I saw Michigan more and have a much more detailed appreciation of Michigan. I think Alabama's better. I think Alabama is the better team. By a little, but I'm picking Michigan. The other things that come into play, they're intangible things.
Right.
There's all this stuff involving Harbaugh, which I think comes to a head, and the Michigan players can really wrap themselves in that for a few days leading right into the game. And there's no negative at all to even mention or think of with Alabama. I'm just going to give Michigan that little edge. But so, no, I don't favor Alabama, even though I think Alabama's a better team.
It's interesting. I will concede at the top that I have more friends in my life who went to Michigan, like my friend Ken Samet, than I do who went to Alabama, for whatever that means. But all of the historical numbers, all of them, favor Alabama. Alabama has been, with Saban, been to the finals 6 times. They've won 3. Michigan hasn't gotten a sniff of this thing. The SEC is 14-3 in the college football playoff against non-SEC teams. All right? The Big Ten is 3-6 overall, and Ohio State is the 3. Nobody else has won. Harbaugh got beat last year by TCU. I think he got blowed out by Georgia the year before that, and he's 0-6 in his last 6 bowl games. Saban is 10-1 in either the BCS final or the college football playoff semi, which means, Mike, if you give him a month, he's gold. He's going to win these games.
Yeah.
I'm rooting the other way, but, you know, all of these numbers look like they're in Alabama's favor. And, you know, Mike, Alabama shouldn't be in this. Auburn should have beaten them. They'd have 2 losses, and Michigan would be playing Florida State.
You think Florida State would be in. Tony, Michigan, you know, it seems to be their time. Like, they're going to be able to get themselves together enough to win that one game despite all those numbers.
I like their helmets. Always have. Let's take a break. Coming up, is it time we start taking the Rams seriously? We're going to ask Booger McFarland.
We're also going to ask him whether he trusts the Cowboys or the Fish more on Sunday in South Florida.
But you look at Alabama and you think they're better.
Yeah.
You don't think they will, but you think they're better.
Yeah, I do.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Grey Goose, part of Happy Hour.
Let's dive back into football with our great friend, ESPN NFL and college football analyst, Logan McFarland, wearing a shirt from San Francisco Golf Club today, which I, too, have played. Let's start with the Saints and the Rams, who are playing tonight. Both teams are 7-7. But the Rams have won 4 out of 5, and the loss was in Baltimore in overtime. We haven't taken the Rams seriously all season. Do we have to take them seriously now, Booger?
Yeah, I think you got to take them very seriously, and it's for a number of reasons. Number one is because Sean McVay has done an outstanding job, maybe his best job as a coach, even going back to when he took the Rams to the Super Bowl. Another reason is Matthew Stafford. He may be a little older, but he can throw the football with the best of them, and they have very capable veterans at the right positions. Aaron Donald is still, he may not be what he once was, but he's still a very, very good player. And when you look at Cooper Kupp, he's healthy. And then you add in the influx of these young guys like Puka Nacua. I mean, who would have thought this guy was going to come and take the league by storm? He's catching everything, and he's developed a rapport with Matthew Stafford. And that connection, you add in Cooper Kupp when he came back healthy, they've been outstanding. And they're just young enough and just good enough that they don't know what they don't know. And so they think they can beat anybody.
We're still wondering what to know about the Cowboys and the Dolphins, Booger. Cowboys struggle on the road. Dolphins struggle to beat good teams. Tyreek Hill returned to practice today, by the way. But of those two teams, which would you rather be going into South Florida Sunday?
I think I'd rather be the Cowboys. Now, it doesn't mean I think the Cowboys are going to win, but let's just understand the psychology of this. The Dolphins beat the Jets. They blew them out. They were playing backup guys in the third quarter. And so they kind of lost their edge. The Dallas Cowboys got embarrassed. Okay, let's face it. The Buffalo Bills ran the football 49 times down the Cowboys' throat. They took their manhood. And so, Mike, you know all week long, head coach Mike McCarthy has been challenging his players. Like, listen, will the real Dallas Cowboys show up at some point? If you thought the run game in Buffalo was something, wait till you see this run game from Mike McDaniel. And so I think they're going to come in. They're going to feel like they've been embarrassed. They're going to feel like their back's against the wall. And, oh, by the way, they got a present on Monday night when Seattle beat Philadelphia. So I think all the motivation, all the things that motivate these teams are going to be with the Dallas Cowboys. And I'd be really, really surprised if the Dallas Cowboys didn't play well. I don't know if they'll win, but I think you're going to get their best effort.
All right, speaking of motivated, the Eagles have lost 3 straight, and they got Matt Patricia calling the defense while – former defensive coordinator, who knows what his title is now, Sean Desai, has taken a back seat. Booger, you've been on teams where there's some weird dynamics, coaches maybe coming or going. How would this feel to you?
I mean, Mike, imagine if somebody told you, hey, Mike, you're still going to be the co-host of PTI, but why don't you sit over here and let Booger sit in his seat for the rest of the week? Your name can still be on the show, but we're going to let Booger sit in your seat. Like, you feel a certain kind of way, Mike.
Yeah,
I mean,
no question.
And there's really no way you can take that but as a demotion. So I think there's a lot going on inside of Philadelphia locker room. And if you just kind of listen to what people say, Mike, you'll learn a lot about what's going on there. Remember when Jalen Hurts said this? He was like, guys, we need to be committed more. Uh-oh. When the star quarterback says we need to be committed more, that tells me, that gives me just a little insight inside those four walls. I'm not really sure what's going on, but they're clearly not the same. The quarterback isn't playing as well. He's not seeing the football. The defensive line isn't dominating like they were last year. And you can blame the coordinator, but at some point, the coordinator doesn't step on across the white line and he doesn't play. This isn't the same team that went toe-to-toe with Kansas City in the Super Bowl, and they got a few weeks to get it figured out. If they don't, they will be one and done in the playoffs.
We will get you out of here on this, and we'll bring you to college football. This is the last time we will see you before the playoffs because we're off. Which two teams are you picking to advance to the championship game in the college playoff?
You know, it's amazing how we made a big fuss about Alabama getting in, and then I'm going to pick Alabama because I think styles make fights. And I think what Michigan does well, Alabama combats it, which is play big boy football. And so I think Coach Harbaugh, even though this may be his more talented team, it's just a bad matchup for Michigan. I don't know if the wide receivers outside can separate against Alabama's two corners that are going to play on Sunday. And if you can't run the football, if you're Michigan, can J.J. McCarthy play at a high enough level where he can challenge and beat Alabama? So I think Alabama wins that semifinal. On the other side, you guys have heard me say this. I think Texas is the most talented team in college football right now. And it's a credit to Steve Sarkisian. If you go back a decade ago, all the issues that Sark had to deal with and what he was going through, to where he is now, to have Texas at this point on the verge of with an opportunity to play for a national championship, I think Texas wins that game. It's Texas versus Alabama, and we get a rematch. Does Alabama offend the loss that they had against Texas and Tuscaloosa, or does the Texas Longhorns reign supreme? I don't know who's going to win that game, but I think we're going to get Texas and Alabama for the championship in Houston, guys.
All right. Mark is down. Mark
Booger,
is
you got 2-1
Booger
teams.
Booger was on Texas early. Teams. Told us that very early before anybody else.
Thank you, Booger.
Anytime, guys. Have a great one. Merry Christmas to all, and hopefully all have a good night on Christmas night.
Absolutely.
Let's take one last break still to come. Will Alex Ovechkin's goal-scoring slump cost him a shot at Wayne Gretzky's record?
Dion lands the lineman he was looking for through the portal. Everybody comes through the portal.
You hate to hear this, Mike.
What?
But Booger's got the two SEC teams because Texas is moving over to the SEC.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Vive la vodka. Please sip responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by PlayStation 5. Feel it now on PlayStation 5.
Happy time, people. Happy 50th birthday, Mike Allstar. The first time Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl in 2003, when they beat the Raiders 48-21, Allstar was their power back. He was a second-round pick by the Buccaneers out of Purdue in 1996, and he played his entire career in Tampa. Allstott made 6 Pro Bowls. He was first-team All-Pro 3 times. He was Mr. Inside, and Warrick Dunn was Mr. Outside. Those Tampa Bay teams were defensive-centric under Tony Dungy and then John Gruden. Brad Johnson was the quarterback in that Super Bowl, not Tom Brady. That was much later. Allstott gained 5,088 yards on the ground for Tampa and scored 58 touchdowns.
Allstott, as you mentioned, Tony, you mentioned Purdue. He's a Midwestern boy. Grew up in Joliet, Illinois. Went to Joliet Catholic, which I know something about. He should have been a Bear. I mean, that running style, wearing that number and big, strong, tough, should have been a Bear. It was miscast. Tampa.
Happy anniversary, Gino Auriemma and UConn Women's Hoops. On this day 13 years ago, the number one ranked Huskies broke John Wooden's UCLA men's basketball team's record of 88 straight wins. UConn demolished a ranked Florida State team by 31 points. UConn would run its streak to 90 games before losing to ranked Stanford. A few years later, after losing in overtime to another ranked Stanford team, UConn rolled up 111 straight wins, including NCAA titles in 2015 and 2016, the third and fourth of an unprecedented four straight women's championships, and Breonna Stewart was on all four teams. That was UConn's last national title. They're currently 9-3 and ranked 17th.
Tony, it's great to me for women's basketball to have now the South Carolinas and the LSUs and the Iowas, and you got talent spread out across the country. But it's still cool to have UConn fairly high up there. No, they're not going to dominate. It's moved to a new and better place, women's college basketball. But it's still good to have Gino Auriemma and the Huskies floating around and a threat. It is.
Happy trails to Alex Ovechkin scoring a goal for the 14th straight game. The Great Eight went 0 for 5 last night in shots on goal. It was his 14th straight game without a goal, the longest drought of his career. Ovechkin has just 5 goals this season. That's a pace for 14. His previous low in a full season is 32. Ovechkin is now 67 goals behind Wayne Gretzky's record 894. At 38, has he gotten old all of a sudden? Ovechkin's shot volume is still at top 20 levels among forwards. His shot speed is still wicked, but his shooting percentage is on pace for a career low. He has only 1 power play goal, and the Capitals are last in the NHL in power play goals and 31st in overall goals. Ovechkin remains confident, though, saying, quote, "My job is to score goals. Sooner or later, it's going to happen," unquote.
Tony, do you believe Dak? I'm wondering, maybe he'll drink from the fountain of Tom Brady and LeBron James and Steph Curry. Maybe he will. But maybe he won't. Which way do you think Ovechkin is going to go? Because if he only gets like 15 or 18 goals this year, it's going to be hard to catch Gretzky.
From what I've read, a lot of people think he's just in a streak of bad luck.
Yeah.
That his shots are good, that they're hard, you know, that he hasn't lost that much physically. I'd like him to come close to Gretzky, but to be honest with you, Mike, I don't want to see him catch or pass Gretzky. I just don't.
Man.
And I love him as a player.
Okay.
I don't. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Deion landed 4 offensive linemen through the portal. Are you impressed?
No. The portal, people have stopped it. This is what happens. People come and go through the portal, like going through Grand Central Station. And baseball lowered the pitch clock with runners on base from 20 seconds to 18. You okay with that?
I'm fine with it. Get the ball from the catcher, throw the ball back. Come on, stop. The Athletic says the last 3 years of Zion's deal no longer guaranteed since he played only 29 games last season. Your thoughts?
He can earn them back through games played and weight, if he makes a certain weight. The Pelicans need Zion to be that player we saw occasionally or a lot a couple of years ago. When he goes out and makes every shot and averages 25, they need that guy. Tug of War was added to the Pro Bowl skills competition. What is that? You like that junk?
Love it. Love it. Get big, strong guys out there. Do it over a moat. Fall in the water. Last one, number 9, Kentucky and Louisville tonight. Are you smelling upset on that?
No, I've seen some of those games in person. They were great games once upon a time, but Louisville's falling on hard times. Maybe they'll bounce back.
Yeah. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your sports center.
How can you not like tug of war with football players?
Pro
Big
ball.
Strong guys, come on.
Pro ball.
Tug of war is fun.
Get it out.
Don't be dismissive.
Get it out.